Paul Tonko, we love having you on the show. We love calling you the Tonk. We love your incredible work on the environment, which has all too often been given short shrift, and you're chair of the subcommittee on that subject. I wanted to ask you about Thanksgiving. What do you do on Thanksgiving usually, and what are you going to do this time?
Well, you know, usually it's been pretty good-sized family gatherings and then perhaps even a second round with friends. But because of the COVID challenge, we're going to narrow it to a very, very few, maybe three or four of us that will be socially distanced and enjoy a meal and then call it Thanksgiving. Because, you know, I continually reach to, you know, the scientists and the medical community and the epidemiologists for the guidance. I think it's our best chance to get to the other side of this virus and grow our economy that is a prerequisite. It's a prerequisite to nail this thing, this challenge, and crush the virus.
Paul, do you think that this coronavirus thing could have been handled better by the president?
By President Trump? Absolutely. I think that, you know, there was, in the very beginning, it needed to be taken more seriously. You know, I recall how, in a whimsical fashion, they suggested it would be gone soon, almost like magic, when in fact, you know, we saw the numbers growing. We had that epicenter of involvement in New York that I think really showed how, you know, how very concerning concerning this virus is. Now with this a second round of peaking in all regions of the country, we are threatened yet by no strategic plan. You know, trying to get a plan in place so that it could be updated constantly and certainly implemented was a big part of the solution here. And having not done that, I think produced the failure that we saw. And, you know, really, in so doing, it split the country, too, which was tragic because we know that there are simple things that need to be done from a public health perspective and a public safety perspective that just didn't get encouraged simply by behavior of the president and his team, which in and of itself was a huge failure.
Do you think on some level, somebody like myself is wrong to basically accuse him of, well, murder? Because after all, you know, a kid walks into a grocery store with a gun, can spend a good deal of his life in prison, but here's a guy who's responsible, in my mind anyway, and in yours a little bit because you just said so, for tens of thousands of deaths. So it's, to me, that adds up to a pretty ugly, ugly thing.
Right. And, you know, I think Vice President Biden, President-elect Biden, was responding in a similar fashion when asked about, you know, the transition here and having a seamless move forward on this virus and having the updates and moving in tandem here. And when asked about what happens if that doesn't occur, you know, a very direct answer, more people will die. And, you know, again, we as public officials, policy developers need to be there for the public and, again, put together a strategy, you know, and have, even as you're negotiating our stimulus bills, the fact that we didn't do a stimulus bill where we focused on testing and tracing, where we put money into the development of the vaccine and made certain that, you know, there were the protective opportunities, the investments that need to be made by schools so they can be open safely. All of this was about crushing the virus, about not spreading the virus, of containing as best we could. And when you don't put that together appropriately, or when you don't invest even what was included in the CARES Act, it's problematic. And so, yeah, the result is more people die and needlessly. And we hopefully will turn the corner and start the new year with a far better response.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The kids, I have three grandchildren. They were in school. I don't know what's going to happen here. I know that my son's son, the schools are closed. Is there something that Congress can be doing to make what is a really bad situation better?
Well, I think certainly technology, if you're going to do virtual learning, technology needs to be available. Otherwise, we're going to have, you know, different levels of achievement, which is unfair. It will broaden the gap that we see so many times that is socially, economically unacceptable. We need technology retrofits in the schools. We need personal protective equipment. We need to make certain that, you know, if you're going to have safety be your guidance in these schools, it even applies to the air circulation within that infrastructure. And so in our HEROES Act, we wanted to make certain that there were the retrofit dollars, there were the technology dollars, the testing, tracing, the PPE, the personal protective equipment. Schools are, you know, an important place, but ought to underscore the element of safety. And people will say, well, the kids don't get the virus. The kids can spread the virus, and there is growing evidence that it can affect the very young, too. And so we want to protect our children. We want to make certain that we don't have, you know, enhance the level of contamination, and that we're enabling them to go forward with their social and educational needs, which education provides. It's a social fabric along with education that's so important to the development of kids. And, you know, they shouldn't be victimized by a paralysis that has beset the congressional officials.
Paul Tonko, what is the status now of the HEROES Act? You guys passed it months ago.
May 15th, actually. And the status is that, you know, look, just weeks before the election, in an attempt to try to bring reasonableness to it so that we could get something done because of the evidence of spiking numbers, we cut back from our $3 trillion down to about $2 trillion. And what the Senate did, you know, we were hoping that that would bring them to the middle. I think they had a $1 trillion plan. They took it to $500 billion. So they went in the opposite direction, when in fact you needed the help. You needed the help for the local governments. Municipal governments are hurting. They provide essential services, essential workers that keep our economy and our quality of life afloat. So when you don't do that, you lose those services or they're greatly diminished, and you add to the ranks of the unemployed, which again becomes another expense for government. So we needed that. We needed the strategic plan of testing, tracing. We needed the retrofits for the school systems. We need the child care investments that we included in HEROES, because, again, the uncertainty of some people being able to go back to work, and if they could, then they needed to. If the schools were closed, you had to have some sort of child care opportunity available for working families, for the great many of us in the middle income category or those looking to ascend to the middle class. So it was holistic, and rightfully so. They wanted to suggest that this, along with food insecurity and all, should not be part and parcel of that whole effort, when I would argue that it is holistically justified to do the HEROES bill. I'm hoping yet in this lame duck period that there will be a willingness with the Republican leadership in both houses and with Secretary Mnuchin to kind of guide us to something before a huge impact is felt with these spiking numbers.
Clearly so. Paul Tocco, love having you on the show. It's great when you come on and you're telling us what you're thinking and catching us all up on what's going on down there. Again, congratulations on your huge win.
Oh, my pleasure. My thanks. And I look forward to working with you in the next term. You folks are great to communicate to the public.